Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not worry about your life." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Is it possible to open up that other door right there? Just because I'm worried about those who are outside and those of us who are inside of burning up too much. It's quite warm in here. And I'm worrying more than most of you. Thank you. Don't worry. If we have a fire or something like that that breaks out, we'll make sure that you get out there quickly. Yeah, we won't lock you in. God. Isn't it great to be back here in Borica? I mean, this is such a beautiful church. And each time I come here, I keep forgetting to take the opportunity after Mass to go there and examine the altar, because I don't know if you know this, but the thing that makes an altar, the reason why the priest and the deacon kiss the altar when they come, and why it's always in the center that he goes to kiss, and he kisses the altar when he leaves, is not just because a priest is celibate, so he needs something to kiss, and so might as well kiss the altar. That's not what's going on here. The reason is what? Is because inside the altar is what? Say it louder. They in the back can't hear you.
The relic of the saint of the church.
Relic of a saint. Not necessarily the church, although it's a nice thing to have. It's a relic of the saints. In fact, the saints who are in the altar aren't even supposed to be known by those who are there. Why? Because it's symbolic of all the saints. So a saint, usually it's a saint of a martyr. So somehow it's a relic, a part of their body, a little chip of their bone, maybe a little bit of their flesh that's there, maybe something that's there. Because since the very beginning of the church, what happened? We always celebrated the holy sacrifice of the Mass over the relics of the saints, of the martyrs. And so it's a part of our connection to those who have given their total life to God here in this flesh, in pattern of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. He's the one who celebrates the Mass. It's his sacrifice that gives us the Mass. And it's his sacrifice lived out in the saints. The priest goes to celebrate that Mass saying, "I want to be like that saint. I want to be like you, Jesus. Help me. I come to do your work, your will, not mine." And so I forget to examine that, to see where that is, how for many, many centuries before, who knows, I don't know, is this church 200 years old? Is this 300 years old? How old is the church? It's probably less than 100, right? Maybe 100? Maybe you know, you're probably old enough. Oh, so many priests have celebrated the Mass on that altar and kissed those same stones. And I'm just following as one in the next line of succession to kiss those same bones, to kiss that same altar, to offer that same sacrifice of the Mass. That's why each of us are here today. It's because of what? It's because nobody here, except for a few of us, are actually from Borica. But all of us have relatives who've worshipped God in the same place. And so that's why I think it's so great that as we celebrate this feast of San Isidro here, even though it's not on the feast day of San Isidro, that's the 15th of May, it's the patron saint of our church, we celebrate it now, recognizing our connection to all those who have gone before us. In the readings today, just by divine providence, we have the readings from St. Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians. We have Jesus, our Lord, preaching to us from his great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And what is it talking about? It's talking about struggle. It's talking about difficulty. It's talking about hardships. Those who came here centuries ago to New Mexico, came from Spain, came all the way through Mexico and leading up, didn't come here on an easy path. Contrary to what historians may want to tell us why they came here, the reason why they came is because servant of God, Isabella of Castile, one day I hope she'll be a saint, she said, "Columbus, go. You go because we just took over the entirety of the Iberian Peninsula. It's finally those who are trying to destroy us have been driven out," when they drove out the Moors in 1492. And out of a joy to let the Catholic faith come to total belief there in the whole of Spain, said, "You know some place that's out there, let's bring the faith there. So that those people, whoever they are, can worship the same Jesus that we worship." That's what Isabella sent the faith out here for, through great difficulty and hardship. And it found its way even all the way out here to this roundabout place called Borica. And that's what we celebrate here, through the struggles and difficulties that they had to bring the faith here, to plant the faith here, even in Borica. So what are the struggles that you and I have as we face bringing faith not just to Morika, but from here to the places where we live? The struggles that we have, the hardships that we endure. None of these things were desperate from the life of the early church, from the life of Jesus Christ when he was preaching. All these same struggles that you have and that I have are the same. And it's for us to recall those things and to draw deeper into our faith to find that strength. I can't expand better than Jesus does upon his own word. He gives us beautiful examples here in the scriptures, doesn't he? He talks about things that are very concrete to a rural life that each of us know. He talks about the things that are common to nature in us all. He says, gives the example not to worry about the things that we need to consume. In the United States, there's nobody who should ever go hungry. We have food that rots in the garbage cans. We throw out far more food than we consume. Not to worry about us having the proper great things that we need to eat because God takes care of us. Not to worry, the birds don't worry about what it is that they're going to get. They get everything that they need. And God knows each of them. Not a single one of them falls even from the nest, he says. He says, look at the flowers of the field, the great beautiful things that we have here. They don't do anything, and yet they're clothed more beautifully than you and I could ever hope to. As beautiful as these vestments used for Mass are, they don't hold the slightest resemblance to the beauty of the flowers that we have here that just naturally spring up and then fade away. So too our Lord calls us to a deeper reliance upon God and his divine providence. What are we worried about? What are the things that come to our minds when we're lying awake at night and we're saying, I just can't get to sleep? What are those things that occur to us? Do you think that our Lord doesn't care about those things? He cares about them far more than you do. Because he cares about your own divine soul, soul which he's imbued with his own divine destiny to be with him, far more than you and I do. St. Paul has something for us there. Next time you're struggling and you don't know why, next time you have something that you just can't seem to overcome, or a temptation that seems like it's just knocking you left and right and you don't know which way is up or down or left or right and you don't know where to go from here, go back. Go back to what St. Paul says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Burn that into your soul. He, St. Paul, the greatest of the apostles under Peter, he says, look, boasting is wrong, so I'm not going to boast in anything that is me. I'll boast in the Lord. I'll boast in my struggles. Why? Even though I have tons of room, I've received great divine revelations, I've seen good things, I've performed great miracles at my own hands, but I'm not going to boast of those things because they don't originate in me. They originate in the Lord. But what I will boast of is the fact I'm totally weak. That I struggle. That I have hardships. And he says, why? Why is it that he boasts of his weakness? He boasts of the times where he falls on his face, the times where he's totally confused and has no idea where to go. Why does he boast of those things? No, St. Paul says he has a thorn in his flesh here. We don't know what that thorn of his flesh is, what that struggle is that he had. What are the struggles that you and I have? St. Paul, when he talks about the struggle that he's going through right here, he doesn't name it. And in his lack of naming it, it helps us to see that whatever it is that we're struggling with is just as valid as what he was struggling with. There's a young man who came up to me just a couple days ago. He came up to me, and he's a young man who struggles with same-sex attraction. Struggles with giving in to that, whether it's by himself or in the company of others. He says, Father, I don't know why I keep struggling with this. I get overcome with emotion because I love this guy. He says, Father, why do I struggle with these things? It seems like time and time again, I have these temptations and I know that they're weak, and all I have to do is call them out for it, go spend some time with somebody who's good company, and they're going to flee away, but I don't. When I'm alone, I fall. And when I'm in the company of bad company that I know I should avoid, I fall in their company. I just want to give up. Maybe chastity isn't something that I can live out. Maybe you can do it, Father, but I can't. So I pointed into here, to the same place. We don't know what it is that St. Paul struggles with. It says St. Paul struggled three times. Three times he besought the Lord, not just three prayers that he shot up in a moment, not three prayers on three successive days, no, three prayers stretched over a long period of time. St. Paul says, I pleaded with the Lord, take this struggle away from me. Maybe it was a sexual struggle. Maybe it was with his anger, which was utterly explosive. Maybe it was, some say, because he was losing his eyesight. And he knew without having his eyesight, he was less effective than he would like to be for the Lord, not being able to read, not being able to see what it is that he wanted to write to the churches and to the people who he knew were struggling. So he said, I pled three times with the Lord to take this from me, because I know that God has the power to do it. But the Lord didn't do it. The Lord allowed him to continue to struggle. The Lord allowed that thorn to continue to vex him day and night. But then the Lord spoke something to him. And this is the thing that you and I need to take. It's not just spoken to St. Paul. He writes it in Holy Scripture, and he proclaims it to the churches there, especially the Corinthians who are struggling with great evils in their community. He says what? Got to memorize it. I say it to myself often when I struggle. He says, the Lord spoke this word to me, and the Lord said, Paul, I didn't take it away from you, but know this, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. What does that mean, grace? It's a word that we use often, right? We hear it in the church, grace, grace this, grace that. We pray for God's grace to touch us in our lives. But what does grace mean? You know, I could teach it to you. I could summarize the entirety of a master's course in theology, which I took for a semester, on the topic of grace, giving you one sentence. But it'd take me 10 minutes to expound what that one sentence means. I've done it before in classes. It's a powerful thing. But to make it very simple for us, what is grace? Grace is God's strength, his power. More radically, though, grace is the divine life, God's life living within us. Those who are baptized, those who are living in that state of grace, having confessed our mortal sins. So what is grace? Grace is God's power that he seeks to place within us so that he can be alive within us. And so that's what God says to St. Paul. He says, in the midst of the struggle, and you want me to take that thing out of your life, that temptation, that hardship, that struggle, guess what? Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. My grace is enough for you. For it is within your weakness, your inability, your struggle, your hardship, the way that you can't seem to overcome this thing, and you don't know where this thing is going. My grace is sufficient for you because my power, my grace, my life is actually perfected, come to completion in you. And so out of that, it's like St. Paul has an out-of-body experience just praising God. And he says, therefore, I glorify the God all the more within my weaknesses. Because what I recognize is that when I struggle, when I don't get it, and when I'm just totally reliant upon God, not worrying about these things, but placing all my worries in his hands because he's good enough, I rejoice all the more in my weakness, he says. Because it is when I am weak, then it is that he is strong in my weakness. And his strength is made more evident in my weakness. Because when the world sees me struggle, when the world sees that this is beyond my own power, and somehow I get beyond it, they know it's not me. They know only God is the reason why I made it. And so whatever it is that we bring as struggles and as hardships and as difficulties here, first thing to do, recognize you're not alone. Each of us struggles. And in fact, when we're here, stepping on these same stones, worshiping on the same altar, sharing the same Eucharist, it's been celebrated for 2,000 years. Our ancestors were here doing the same thing. They struggled in the same way. And God's grace was still sufficient for them to bring me into existence. That's the first thing. And the second thing is to recognize that when we struggle with these things, that's not on me to get beyond it. You're not able to. God, 100% of the time, gives you things that are too difficult for you to bear. Anybody who says different is trying to sell you something. God does give us things that are too great for us to get beyond. But he never gives us anything which is too great for him to go beyond. It's his power, his strength, His grace, His presence alive within us that gives us the grace to go beyond. You can't do it. I can't do it. This young man who is struggling with same-sex attractions, he can't do it. But God can. God can. Whatever it is that you and I are struggling with, we say it all the time in Mass in St. Rose. Put that thing, that person, that situation, that struggle that you have, as that chalice is being raised, the blood of Christ. Put that situation, that person, that struggle in there. And let God's all-sufficient grace in His body and in His blood be sufficient for you. It's my prayer and my confidence that it will be sufficient for me too. We pray for one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.